Judge Shaw, Injury Law, 732-888-8888.
T-Man Judd.
T-Man Justice.
T-Man Judd.
The injury accident professionals.
First class service.
Judd gets it done. Maximum compensation's our goal. See JudgeShawInjuryLaw.com.
T-Man
Judd Shaw, Injury Law, 732-888-8888.
T-Man Judd. Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Welcome, everybody. Hook, Line, and Splitter, episode 75. I'm Greg Giamborisi. Hook, Line, and Splitter, presented by Judge Shaw Injury Law. We understand the toll that injuries take on families, and we're here to help. For a free consultation, call 1-866-909-6894 or visit JudgeShawInjuryLaw.com. That's Judd with two Ds, ShawInjuryLaw.com. Our guest today is Blue Claws left-handed pitcher Wesley Moore, 23-year-old from Surrey, British Columbia in Canada, pitched at Kansas State and Cal State Northridge, signed with the Phillies in November. That's a crazy story. We'll get to that with Wesley. Signed with the Phillies in November, began his professional career with Clearwater, where he gave up a whopping 2 earned runs in 25 innings, joined the Blue Claws on June 13th, and he settled in as one of the key relievers in what's been a dynamite bullpen of late for the Blue Claws. We taped this on Thursday, August 10th, the morning after Jersey Shore won their fifth straight game and 14th game in their last 17 games dating back to July the 21st. So they're flying right now, playing their best baseball of the season and entering the night on August 10th. They're only 3 games in back of first place Brooklyn with 1 month to go. Regular season ends on Sunday, September the 10th. So more on that in a bit, but Wesley joining us, we talked about his background growing up in Canada playing baseball, how he ended up with the Phillies in the first place, which involves a bizarre NCAA decision last fall, and then how he's developed over the course of the year, the vibes that he felt with the team in Clearwater before he came up here, and then how things are going with the Blue Claws. Obviously, Jersey Shore has a good thing going as well. Thanks to Wesley for joining us. We'll get right to it. Here's Blue Claws left-hander Wesley Moore. Our guest, Blue Claws pitcher Wesley Moore, who joins us from Wappingers Falls. Blue Claws have won the first 2 games there, won 5 in a row overall. We're taping this on Thursday the 10th and 14 of 17. Wesley, you guys got a good thing going right now.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, for sure. We've been on a good roll right now. Won our first 2 games here against Hudson Valley, and it's been good. Team's playing well.
How do you guys kind of feed off of each other's success, both, you know, your bullpen group, but really the whole, you know, 30 guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think hitting and pitching is contagious. So, I mean, I think we got on a roll early on here, and we're hitting well, and it seems like the whole team started to feed off that. And then out of the bullpen, we've just kind of been trying to do our thing, and everyone's trying to do our job out there, and everyone's going to go in and throw one inning and try and get the job done. So we've been throwing well and pitching well, and it's good to see the ball club come together.
We'll get to your whole, you know, the whole story in a little bit, but you know, you got here in mid-June from Clearwater. What have you kind of learned and how have you grown in your 2 months with the Blue Claws, working with Phil and working with Brady?
Yeah, for sure. So just kind of learning what my strengths are as a pitcher. When I got here, just kind of learning what my fastball does and what my changeup does and where I need to throw those pitches to have success. That's kind of the main thing I've taken away from Phil and Brady here. They've been awesome as pitching coaches. But the main difference from Clearwater to here is, you know, you'll have some inexperienced younger guys down in the Florida State League, but in this league it's all experienced college hitters mostly. So I think it's, you know, they're very selective, so you got to be landing your off speed early on. So you know, it's just a little bit different of a league, but definitely learning how to use my stuff in the zone has helped me a lot with these experienced hitters.
The guys at this level, they don't chase nearly as much, right?
Yeah, they don't chase as much, and you know, they're swinging early, even if it's off speed. So you gotta have a plan going into each at bat with especially with these Hudson Valley hitters.
So you began your professional career with Clearwater. You didn't sign until November of last year, and obviously you jumped out to an amazing start. You only gave up 2 runs and 2 earned runs in 25 innings. What do you think was clicking for you down there?
Yeah, I was just getting ahead of hitters and pounding the zone and using my fastball and changeup to my strength down there. I was able to land the changeup in any count and use my fastball inside or up in the zone to right-handed hitters and to left-handed hitters. I really didn't use a curveball until I got here, but I've also been going fastball changeup. But I think it's mostly just getting ahead and attacking hitters and having that mindset of no one's going to beat me on the mound.
Take us through your repertoire.
So I have a fastball, four-seam fastball. It usually has ride up in the zone, so I try and throw it more up or in it in the zone. And then I have a changeup that's worked very well for me this year. I try and throw it middle and just let it fade away to right-hand hitters. And I have a curveball. I don't throw very much unless I need it to land it to any left-handed hitter. But I've thrown quite a few more since I got up to high A, just because that third pitch sometimes is essential against some of these more experienced hitters. But mostly fastball changeup for my arsenal.
I know you kind of throw from like a three-quarter slot, so your curveball has a lot of horizontal movement, like yep. Kind of like a frisbee slider. Yeah. How has that pitch developed?
Yeah, I've always kind of played with breaking balls. I've never been able to truly spin a breaking ball consistently like my changeup. I've always had different versions of sliders or slurves. This year, I started throwing a spike curveball. It felt good in my hand during spring training, and I mean, luckily I didn't need it much down in Clearwater, so I didn't get too many reps to throw it. But coming up here, I thought I needed that third pitch, especially going multiple innings and going through the lineup a couple times. So, yeah, like you said, I kind of throw it out of a low three-quarter arm slot. So it is kind of slurvy, kind of sweepy certain days. But I try and just start it at left-handed hitter's hip and just let it sweep across the plate and try and land it for a strike.
So back it up, I guess, to the fall. Now, how did you end up with the Phillies in the first place?
Yeah, it's kind of a long story, but I was at my last year at Kansas State University, just coming off Tommy John surgery. I came about halfway through the year off of surgery, had an okay year, very up and down, just battling some soreness and just some control issues and stuff. And then I went off to summer ball to Bellingham Bells to play, and the velo ticked up and I started to figure out the mechanical side of things and started throwing a lot of strikes and had a really strong summer and was about to head back to school, back to Kansas State for the fall, because I thought I had one more year because of my COVID year. And you know, I was driving down and I got told that I had no more user eligibility from the NCAA after we appealed a couple times to them. And that was a little bit of a shock, but I continued to go down to school just because I had a place to train down there. And I trained for about a month down there and decided that I wanted to set up a scouting bullpen. So luckily, my coaches there at K-State helped me with that. We set up a bullpen and threw a bullpen in front of 10 or 12 scouts at Kansas State's facility. Did really well. I think I was like 93, 94 with a changeup and curveball in that bullpen. And a couple of days later, the Phillies gave me an opportunity and signed me. So a little bit of a crazy story, but I didn't sign until November 9th, I think it was.
Had the Phillies scouted you in the summer league?
I don't know specifically the summer league. I remember they had saw me already at Kansas State just over a couple outings. And throughout the years, I think they had saw me a couple times. But I think it was one of the first times they had saw me really, really, you know, open to sign and everything. So it was definitely a crazy experience, but definitely grateful for the Phillies for giving me an opportunity.
When you throw the bullpen, you know, you're not, you know, 10 days before that, you're not, or whatever, a couple of weeks before that, you're not expecting to have to pitch for a professional opportunity on, you know, the first week of November. You're expecting to do that in the spring. So yeah. What was the training like for that? Because, you know, you get a shot and then who knows what's going to, you just don't know what's going to happen after that. So like, did you kind of feel pressure on yourself? What was that whole experience like?
Yeah, it was definitely interesting because I was expected to go back to school and just kind of start the fall and classes and start training. But once I found out I didn't have the opportunity to go back to school, I always knew I had the ability to play pro baseball. Just the timing didn't quite line up for myself, and I knew that I wanted to sign, so I thought I could try and get an opportunity to. The original goal was to throw a bullpen, and then they wanted to see me again and throw a couple of live at bats or something like that for a team, or maybe even go to Australia. I was just any option was open at the time, but yeah. So when I found out I couldn't go back to school, the training was more, let's try and get ready for a game like situation by the end of the fall, and let's try and get signed any way possible. So I was training for that. I was training hard in the weight room and on hard in my bullpens and just trying to do everything I could to be game ready at any point, just in case someone called and needed me to throw somewhere. So that was the goal. Luckily, they only needed one bullpen for me to sign off of, which was amazing. But it was definitely an interesting experience being game ready in the fall trying to sign professional baseball. So
So then what happens when you sign? Because obviously instructional league is over. Did you talk to Travis Herger, the pitching coordinator, or some other people, and they get you on some kind of plan to get ready for the spring?
yeah, so Justin Munson signed me. He was the scout that signed me. And then about 5 days after I signed, it was the day of the World Game 7 of the World Series I signed. The day after that, I flew down to Florida just to get physicals done so I can actually sign the papers. Got all the physicals done, signed, and then I stayed down there for about a week and a half, 2 weeks just to train and kind of get in the rhythm of things. I was a part of, I think, a late camp there in the fall, and just kind of finished up in late November, and then headed home after that and talked to Travis and a bunch of the coordinators and stuff, and just kind of set me up with a plan throughout the off season of what they wanted to do with me and where I wanted to be in spring training, kind of thing. And yeah, it was an interesting experience, but definitely grateful for it.
So you're from Canada. How did you end up playing baseball in the first place?
Canada is actually a bigger baseball country than most people think, but everyone thinks of Canada as hockey or lacrosse, which definitely is. But there's a lot of travel baseball where I grew up. I ended up actually in my grade 11 year of high school going to a baseball academy. Moved away from home and lived in dorms in a baseball academy about 12 hours from my home when I was 15, and then did that for 2 years and got the opportunity to go to Cal State Northridge out of high school. So that's kind of how it went. But it was mostly travel baseball growing up in Canada, and I never really thought I was going to do anything else. So
Where was the baseball academy?
it was in Alberta. It's called Vauxhall Baseball Academy.
And you're from by Vancouver.
I'm from British Columbia, by Vancouver. So it's about a 12-hour drive from my home. So moving away from home at that young of an age was a big decision, but I was committed to trying to get to the next level in college and baseball, and that's kind of what I had to do at the time.
So were you were at that baseball academy for all 4 years of high school?
The last 2 years, grade 11, grade 12.
Last 2 years of high school, very cool.
Yeah.
So, did obviously from the Vancouver area, not that far from Seattle, and Vancouver has a minor league team. Did you go to any either games with the Mariners or the Vancouver team?
Yeah, I grew up going to Mariners games just because it was 2 hour drive. It's the closest major league stadium, and also the Vancouver Canadiens games that there are now high A for the Blue Jays. Definitely went to a fair share of games there and got to play a fair share of high school games at that field too. So that was kind of what it was like growing up. It's all Blue Jays fans or Mariners fans around there. So it's yeah, that's the closest stadium.
Who are some of the players you liked watching?
I remember one time Derek Jeter's last season. I always used to love Derek Jeter. Clayton Kershaw is my favorite pitcher, but I never was a crazy Mariners fan. I just like going to the games. But I saw Derek Jeter's last game at a Mariners stadium. He had an opposite field home run. That's kind of one of the main memories I remember from going to the it used to be a Safeco Field. Now it's T-Mobile, but I call it Safeco.
So that would have been in 2008, I guess, right? So you were only 9 years
Nine.
old, or eight,
Yeah.
maybe not even turn maybe not even have turned nine by that point.
Yeah, for sure.
So you end up at Cal State Northridge. How did the Cal State Northridge to Kansas State transfer come to be?
Yeah, so got an opportunity to go to Cal State Northridge, mid-major school in the Big West. I loved it. Definitely a decision where I had an opportunity to maybe go to a bigger school, but I didn't think I was ready and I didn't think I would pitch. So I went into Cal State Northridge pitching right away and got a lot of innings there. Had a lot of great experiences. After my sophomore year, my coaching staff got fired. And I kind of thought I had got everything out of that program I could have. So I made the decision to transfer and went into the portal and got some help from some coaches in Canada with some connections at other schools, and decided I wanted to go. If I was going to transfer, I wanted to go to a bigger school that had some bigger facilities and just try and develop and gain some velocity. So I ended up talking to a bunch of schools in Kansas State, had, you know, the best situation, best offer. And I went out there to visit, and I committed on the spot once I got out there, and it just gave me a great opportunity, and the money worked out, and I was happy I got to go to Kansas State.
So how many years did you pitch there?
At Kansas State. I was there for 3 years. I had to sit out my first year. Then COVID happened. My second year, I came back, got Tommy John. So I only pitched there 1 year officially, but I was there for 3 years.
What was the Tommy John rehab process like? Obviously, it's long.
Very long. Definitely a bit of a shock. That was coming back from COVID. I had gained velo and I was ready to go. I was like 90, 93. And I was hoping for a big season because it was my draft year, and came back and ended up hurting my arm. So in March of 2021, I got Tommy John, and that was definitely the best experience and the worst experience I've gone through. It was, at the time, it was terrible because I got knocked out of another season, and you know, Tommy John's never fun, but going through the rehab and you know, the strengthening process was the best thing I've ever done mentally and physically, and I wouldn't be here today without going through that. But it was definitely a tough process for sure.
So when you pitched in 2022, you're still on the short end of, you know, that's 12 to 14 months, right, after the surgery. So that's on the short end. So by the time you pitched for the Phillies and that your bullpen session in October or November of 22, that's about, you know, that 15 to 18 month, closer to 18 month in that case, that's about what would be considered fully recovered, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I had some amazing trainers at Kansas State. I luckily had a very smooth recovery process. So I had my first outing at 11 months out of surgery, which is very, very early. Physically, I was ready. Mentally, I'm not sure if I was quite ready yet, but, you know, it all worked out. But yeah, definitely it's throwing the bullpen in October. That's usually kind of when you start feeling 100% again. And through the summer, I think it showed 14, 15 months out, I started feeling back to myself again. I gained my velo back fairly early, but I didn't have that feel yet until about 14 or 15 months. So it took a little while, but it all worked out.
So I saw that you were a psychology major at Kansas State. Can you apply any of that to your own, you know, the ups and downs of being a professional athlete?
Yeah, for sure. I think that was kind of the reason. I had no idea what I wanted to do in college. So I took a couple classes, and psychology interested me, just kind of the way people think and the mental side of the game. I thought it could maybe help me, and learn some things definitely throughout getting my degree, but definitely through that Tommy John process, it definitely helped me mentally, just to know how, you know, your brain works and how to think through certain things and certain things you're going through, whether it's bad or good. But that was kind of the reason I took psychology in the first place. And I think it definitely helped me, and I could apply it to the baseball life.
So your pitching coach, Phil Condari, is a licensed psychotherapist, and he did that professionally before he turned to coaching. I think he still does it on the side in the offseason, but I know he did that professionally before he got into college coaching in the late 90s. Have you ever talked to him about that kind of stuff?
A little bit, not too much. I've heard that he was a licensed therapist. I talked to him about it a little bit, but I mean, it doesn't surprise me just the way he talks to his players, and you know, it's Phil's an amazing baseball mind, and he knows the way, you know, players think and how players work, and it's awesome to have him around just to talk to him as a person, but also as a coach, and you know, he's been great for the staff.
How do Phil and Brady, obviously, you know, Phil's been around for a while as a coach, both in college and professional ball, and Brady, who played as recently as last year, how do they kind of pair off and work together and kind of provide different perspectives for you guys?
Yeah, I think they're an amazing mix. Phil's a super experienced pitching coach, has a ton of insight and a ton of, you know, a ton of knowledge about pitching. And so does Brady. Brady's more of the new school wave, and Brady's cool to have because he's in our bullpen, and he just got off playing throughout his career. So he knows exactly how it is going through the minor leagues and how it is playing day to day as a pitcher mentally and physically. So he's great to have as a, you know, as a mentor who just got out of the game. But Phil is very knowledgeable, and they're kind of like the yin and yang of the pitching staff, and it's pretty cool to see.
Who's the funniest guy to share the bullpen with when you sit there during the game? Because you got to kill a lot of time.
There's a lot of characters on this team, especially in the bullpen. The bullpen can get pretty interesting during the games. There's a lot of funny guys. I don't know if I could pick one, but Fowler is a pretty funny character to have around the bullpen if he's ever down there, or just the dugout. He's a funny guy to stand next to during the game.
I feel like you lost a little character when McCollum went up.
Yeah, he's a big character in that pen. And Tristan Garnett also, he went up to AA too, and our pen's a lot quieter now that those two are gone, sadly.
So you began the year with Clearwater. Obviously, they had, and they still have, like a really great thing going. Do you kind of stay in touch? I know a lot of the guys that you're with are now here, but you know, you stayed in touch with some of the guys that are still down there because they've been playing great. And every time you pick your head up, they have a comeback win.
Yeah, for sure. It's that team is special. It was a special team to play on, and that team just hates to lose. It just seems like any time late in the game, however how much they're down, they're going to battle back, and you know, most of the times this year they're going to win it. But I definitely keep in contact with a couple of guys. I know they're still doing really well, and we're hoping for a championship down there so we can get some rings. That would be great. But yeah, they're still winning away, and it's a great group of guys down there.
You got to have John and Enriquez pick you up a couple of lottery tickets. There's 13-1 and 25 games.
Yeah, he had 9 wins before I left out of the bullpen. He just happens to throw in those big leverage situations, and when we're winning late in the game, and he's picked up a ton of wins.
And you guys here, I mean, have won a lot of games late. You have, I think, 7 walk-off wins. 5 of them maybe have come in the second half. Maybe 6 of them have come in the second half. So you guys definitely have a good thing going here too.
Oh, for sure. We've had some exciting walk-off wins. I think we had 3 against Aberdeen, if I'm not mistaken. But it's been good. We've been playing good baseball, and it's good to see the fight late in the game, especially you know, when we're going for a playoff run here. Every inning, every game counts. So it's good to see that.
So do you guys kind of keep an eye on that, or is it still too early?
Definitely keep an eye on it now, especially this point of the season and who we're facing right now. But earlier in the season, it's more like, you know, you see the record and where we're placed, but you kind of just try and take it day by day because that's all you can do. But now we're still taking it day by day. It's just we're more aware of where we're at in the standings and that we have a chance to make the playoffs.
I mean, you had those 3 games against Brooklyn. You know, you were 6 out going into the game on Friday night of last week, the 4th, and you won all 3. And even if you won 2 of the 3, you're still 5 out. And
yeah,
there's a pretty big difference between being 5 out and 3 out, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So getting those 3 wins was enormous. And, you know, I think if you guys are able to pull it off and get in, you're going to look right to those 3 games over that weekend. Was there kind of like an added intensity, or you just kind of went about your business?
I think it was more going about our business. There was – I think we didn't realize what we did until the week finished. And it was – we knew there were big games, but – you know, you can only control the moment type of thing. And luckily we came away with 3 wins that week, but that week was huge for us. And so is this week coming up. So It was exciting to get those wins against Brooklyn, especially for them being in first place. So that helped us out a lot.
Did you have any experience in the, I know you got a little bit, right, in the Team Canada youth system?
Yeah, for sure. I luckily got picked up on Team Canada the spring year of 2016. So I played on there 2016, 2017. Was able to, we do a ton of trips every year. There's a spring training trip, extended spring, Dominican Summer League, and fall instructs. I was able to go to Cuba, Dominican, and play in the World Baseball 18U Classic type of thing. So it's I got to do a lot of really cool things with Team Canada. I got the opportunity to travel a lot of different places and play a lot of different countries, and it was an amazing experience. It kind of helped me up for some experience into college baseball. So it was great.
Has your path ever crossed with Scott Matheson?
Yeah, I played for one of his younger teams when I was in grade 10.
He pitched for the – before, I don't know him, I've never met him, but he pitched for the Blue Claws.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you know Ernie Witt?
Ernie Witt, I know that guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He was obviously the Phillies catching coordinator for a number of years. So, yeah, awesome.
Great guy, for sure. He coaches our senior program. I haven't played for that one yet, but hopefully one day.
Do you kind of have your eye on that? Like, is that something that's always in the back of your mind? Obviously, you know, your goal is to move up with the Phillies and make the Phillies, but you always kind of have in the back of your mind that, hey, one day I'd like to play for Team Canada, be it in the WBC, be it in the Olympics, be it in Premier 12 or whatever.
Yeah, definitely in the back of my head. Not really, you know, it's kind of an uncontrollable thing. You hope you can be good enough to make one of those teams, and hopefully in the future I have a shot, and I think I do, but yeah, it'd be amazing to play in the Olympics if they ever brought it back, but especially the WBC after seeing this year and how electric those fans were, definitely would be very cool to play in it next time around.
I think they're supposed to bring it back in 2028. I thought I read in Los Angeles, I think.
That would be pretty cool. I think they definitely should, but we'll see.
I mean, you got a couple of your Aussie teammates that I know have their eye on that for Australia too after their WBC this year.
Yeah, for sure. After hearing their experience at WBC, it's definitely something I want to do. So we'll see when that time comes around.
Wes, I don't want to keep you forever, but I appreciate a few minutes. Thanks so much. Keep up the great work and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That was Blue Claws left-hander Wesley Moore. Thanks to him for joining us here today. Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with your friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of the minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the app or Play Store and start scoring rewards today. Blue Claws in Hudson Valley for the weekend. So four more there, August 10th through 13th, and then back home for one of just two remaining home series in the season for the Blue Claws. So they'll play Asheville, the Astros affiliate, starting on Tuesday night, and that'll be a six-game set. We'll run through it for you. Tuesday the 15th is two for Tuesday, so buy one, get one, reserve seats. Those are going quick right now on blueclaws.com. Wednesday, 7:05. Thursday is a lot going on. Thursday. Of course, Medusa's night, and then it's also Blue Claws Charities karaoke night, which will be fun. Blue Claws players, Blue Claws staff members, I should say, will be singing karaoke, including yours truly, throughout the ball game. And then if you, as a fan, want to participate, you can head down to the sandbar down there and sing as well. Friday night, postgame fireworks. Only two shows left for fireworks this year, August 18th and September the 1st. And then Saturday, a big one, Grateful Dead night, which is always exciting. So we'll have special Grateful Dead jerseys. That's presented by Toyota World of Lakewood. And then the band Splintered Sunlight plays live in the sandbar as part of the Pharaoh's Tees summer concert series. And then it wraps up on Sunday the 20th, which will include your typical Kids Day fun. Kids club members eat free thanks to Sabret. And there'll be, of course, kids run the bases after every game thanks to Children's Specialized Hospital. So that'll wrap it up here from Hook, Line, and Splitter HQ. We'll get another couple up for you over the coming weeks, and hopefully you enjoyed Wesley Moore. He was fantastic with us today. I'm Greg Giambrisi. Have a wonderful day, everybody. See you in Shoretown Tuesday night. Thanks for listening to Hook, Line, and Splitter a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast.